Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breathe Again Magazine, the radio show, a moment of hope, inspiration, and solutions. Listen to real-life testimonies from women and men just like you who have gone from victim to victorious. Sit back, listen, connect in the chat room, and share the show with a friend. Here's your host, author, and motivational speaker, Nicole Cleveland.
Good morning, and welcome to Breathe Again, the radio show. Yes, I am your host, Nicole Cleveland, and we come to you with testimonies of faith, victorious testimonies of faith from individuals just like yourself, those that have gone through the fire, come out the fire, and now they're here to share their story, to let you know that God is no respecter of persons, and if he did it for them, he will definitely do it for you. We do this so that people are not suffering in silence, and they're not suffering alone by themselves. So many people are going through right at this very moment, and they feel like no one understands how they're feeling, what they're going through, and they kind of feel strange. But we want them to know that they're not strange. What they're going through is not strange, and they are not alone. So that's the mission of the show, to ensure that people are not suffering in silence and they do not feel like they are alone. I want you to hang on in there, my brother. My sister, if you're going through a rough patch in your life right now, hang in there. Trouble don't last always. It really doesn't. You will be coming out, and you're going to come out shortly. Hey, connect with us on our social media outlets as well. We're on Facebook, Breathe Again Magazine, Twitter, at Breathe Again, and we're also on Instagram, at Breathe Again Global, and you can connect with me as well. All networks, you can find me at Nicole C. Online, at Nicole C. Online. You know, I do what I do so that God gets the glory, because I've gone through so much, and I want others to know that God is in the midst of your problems and in the midst of your situations. And you may not be able to feel him right now, but he is yet in the midst of your situation. So I don't want you to feel like you're by yourself. Hey, we've all been there, but we came out, and you're going to come out too. I have a phenomenal show for you on today. I'm so excited about this show. I'm excited about all my shows, but I'm really excited about today's show. My first guest is Michael Walker. Now, this man has such a phenomenal, victorious testimony. He is a living, walking, breathing testimony, and I'll say that again. He is a living, walking, breathing testimony. You know, statistics would have said he was not supposed to still be here, but he fought, and he is here today to tell his story. He survived a stroke. He wrote a book, I tell you, and, you know, everything did not go back to normal, but he is surviving, and he's not just surviving. He is thriving, and he's here to tell the story about what he's gone through, how he came out, and talk a little bit about his book. I also have Rayfield Walker. Now, this man, he survived so much. He's from Guyana, and he has a story to tell, abuse and neglect, and he fought to get out of there, came over to New York, and just made something out of his life. And that's what it's all about. That's exactly what it's all about. So to God be the glory for great things he's done, doing, and going to do. If you are a first-time listener, thank you so much for joining us. If you are part of the family, thank you, thank you, thank you. I can't do what I do without you, so thank you so much. You know how we do, family. We're going to go into our prayer. We're going to come out, and we're going to go right into the show. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Father, you hear our hearts this morning. We do not want to settle. We do not want to find our comfortable position and put up our tent there and be happy with you blessing me and mine. Father, we understand today that forgiveness and reconciliation and blessing and favor is given for reason, Lord God. It is given for purpose, Father. And today, God, we say, forgive us, Father, when we have taken on this attitude, Lord God, of all you've done. Father, use us, God, use us, pick us, choose us, Father. We want to spend ourselves. Father, I want to get to heaven with a life poured out, not with a life that looks perfect, Father. I want it to not look good. I want it to be good, Father. We love you today, Father God. We love you today, Father God. We love you today, Father God. Let our love be seen, Father God, on this earth. Let our love be carved out, Father God, on the pavements of our neighborhoods. Let our love be carved out for you, Father. Oh, Jesus, for the lonely. Lord, for the state that we were in. We were in that state, God. Yet someone bothered to take the time and present you to us. We'll never, ever take it for granted. And in turn, we live our lives as a thank you. As a thank you, Father. As a thank you.
Amen, amen, and amen. Love, love, love that prayer. That's Darlene Sheck in Israel and New Breed. And we play that prayer each week before the guests come on because it sets the atmosphere. And I do that because that's my prayer. I don't want my life just to look good. I want it to be good. And I want to live my life as a thank you each and every day. So many people have gone on. They've gone on and they've transitioned. And we get to be here one more day. So that one more day, we need to be very thankful and mindful of what God has given us. So I hope that's your prayer, too. I hope that's your prayer, too. So let's go right into our first segment. Then we'll jump into the second segment with Rayfield Walker. And boy, does he have a story to tell you. I think he's on the line now. So Michael Walker, let's talk about my first guest. Now, he is the author of One for Each Day at a Time. Now, this book provides inspirational thoughts with insight for meditation and encouragement. Looking for a burst of positive energy, you can use this book as a personal devotion to ultimately find truth, strength, and fortitude from within your own consciousness. There is no cure-all for what ills a turbulent world. But if you're looking for a simple and declarative celebration of human life, positive thinking, and introspection, you need to read One for Each Day at a Time. And Michael has a story to tell. Michael survived a stroke, and Michael continues to fight each and every day. So I'm going to bring Michael to the show. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Nicole.
Oh, Michael,
really
you're more than welcome. Amen, and I'm excited to have you. Michael, can you please give the listeners a little bit of background about who Michael Walker is? How would you describe Michael Walker?
Well, prior to publishing my book, I was a typical young person who was married and having young children, and my problem basically was based on a lifelong struggle with stress management and excess anxiety, just not knowing how to find the simple answers to a busy life and when things went wrong and against the plan that I had put forth. And basically my I guess the tipping point for me was when my father started to suffer from dementia, and he was placed in a home for veterans suffering from different maladies, and then he was transferred to another rehabilitation home that was non-military. And his health declined pretty rapidly, and I was trying to help manage that situation. I was also managing a very stressful marriage at the time and not really performing at peak level on my job. that was had that had certain demands. And I think the combination of all three of those things, plus I was just not really getting in touch with my spiritual side and allowing God to take over. And it just led to some really poor decision-making on my part. It led to poor communication. And eventually, it compromised my health. And being an African-American male and being primed for hypertension and certain diseases of the heart, and I had a family history of that too, I developed what they called an anti-cardiolipin, which is an enzyme that causes strokes. And probably it would have happened when I was in my 70s, but I was actually 35 at the time, and I just suffered an infarction, which was a transient ischemic attack, which medically speaking is a stroke.
Mm-hmm. So, and, Michael, do you believe that stress was a major factor in leading to the stroke?
Absolutely. I did not handle stress well. I did not prioritize things well. I thought it was all on me. I thought I had to carry the burden and not really look at things in a way that you don't climb a mountain taking 7 steps at a time. And you take things 1 step at a time. And I failed to do that. I wasn't able to look at situations and see that this problem is not as big as I'm making it out to be. I basically just tried to figure, well, I'm young enough and strong enough, I'll just attack it on my own. And quite frankly, that's not how you really effectively solve problems. And I figure if I have a financial issue, I'll just work to get myself out of it. But I didn't realize that when you work yourself to death and you're not scheduling things properly, it doesn't matter what kind of job you have or how much money you want to make. If you're not going to perform at peak level, then you might as well not be working.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And kudos to you, Michael, because you understand what brought it on and you have changed your lifestyle. And I just thank God that you're still here. Not many people do survive strokes. And you are one of the blessed ones. So to God be the glory. And
absolutely,
you're a fighter, Michael. You are really
thank
a fighter.
To God be
Michael,
the glory.
Talk to me. Yeah, Michael, talk to me about your book, One for Each Day at a Time. What was the inspiration behind writing this book?
Well, I've been a writer since age 7. I've always loved creating stories. I've always been fascinated by the English language and the way words come together. And coupled with my spirituality, I just felt this need to get this out of my system. There's an old adage that everybody has at least one book in them, and I figured that this was one of my books, but I want to continue to write. But I was led by the spirit, and I was also led by my desire to all have a short time in living space. And if we want to really do something worthwhile, it's important to leave a legacy. And I just thought by writing this book, I would be leaving something back, something for someone else to take. And I figured that with just maybe a little bit of encouragement, people would have the strength to make it to the next day. My source was the Bible. I would look up different passages, and I would try to figure out a very creative way using rhyme and poetry to convey the message that was in the Bible. If there was a message in there about doing unto others as you would have them do unto you, I would find a way to kind of use words and rhyming to convey the same message, but the inspiration would actually be directly from the Bible.
That is good, really good. What can the readers look forward to once they purchase your book? What do you want them to walk away with?
Well, basically, what I'd like them to see is that there's beauty in everything and there's wisdom in everything. And also just to be able to sort of take their time with some of the stresses in life. We come at things very differently, and everybody's in a different place as far as their own spirituality. Maybe they're just at the very beginning of their journey, and they need some encouragement. Basically, this is just the way that everyone, no matter what their faith tradition is, they can take a look at maybe one of the passages in the book, and they can use that as a mantra for the day. It could be something as simple as just breathing in exercises, and maybe having that spiritual saying or that motto to kind of chew through a tough period. But basically, it's just a very short little passage to trying to get through things in a more effective way and not let the stress get to you.
Yeah. Michael, how can the listeners purchase your book?
Well, there's a couple of ways. They could actually Google the title, One for Each Day at a Time, by Michael C. Walker, and that will take them directly to BalboaPress.com, and then they can make the purchase there, or they can simply just go to Balboa, that's B-A-L-B-O-A, press.com, and they can just put in the search engine, One for Each Day at a Time, and the book will come up there.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Michael, before we leave, because we have just a few more minutes left, I want you to offer a few tips on how to handle stress. We've done it the wrong way for so many years. What are some tips that you would give an individual that's just stressed out, they're overworked, they're on the verge of just throwing in the towel? What are some tips that you would give that individual?
Well, I would diet and exercise is really one of the first places you want to start. If you're having poor eating habits or you're making poor nutritional decisions, you may want to take a look at that. If you're eating on the run, if you're not settling down, if you're overeating, or if you're using food to combat stress, you may want to stop that. I take a look at how much exercise are you getting. Are you just sitting around? You're so tired from work that you don't get a chance to actually just walk or do some simple exercises. Those are the first places I would start. Then I take a look at what you're stressed about. Is it something that can be solved with the help of others? If you're finding some confusion in your job, is there any way you can talk to your supervisor to find out what source of the problem is? Talking things out is always a good way. And then I'd look at the spiritual side. What are ways that you can maybe connect better with your spiritual side? Is it something as simple as just taking 5 minutes out to just sit in a quiet room, closing your eyes, and just spirituality? Or if you take time for yourself, you may find that some things aren't as heavy or stressful as they might seem. But I would concentrate on those three areas. Health and nutrition, spirituality, and certainly I would try to do the things that would aid in being a more healthy person physically. That means getting enough sleep. These are really simple things that you can do. Take a look at your lifestyle. Just see if there are areas where you can kind of clean those parts up.
Yeah. Good advice, Michael. I know recently you lost your mother, and you were very close to your mother, and I know she's proud of you on today. So I just wanted to throw that out there as well. Did your mother encourage you to really follow your dreams, write your book, and continue on?
Absolutely. Nicole, my mother has always been my most critical as well as my most supportive audience. Whenever I finished writing something, she was the first person I read it to, and I was so grateful for her advice. She had the wisdom of 1,000 years, and she could always pass that on to me. losing her was very tough. I actually found myself falling back on some old habits when I was taking care of her as she was dying. I gained extra weight because I was eating poorly, but I'm in the process now of turning that around. I've actually lost some weight, and I'm doing yoga, which goes to the spirituality side. So even though I preach about inspiration and that kind of thing, I had to take my own advice. And I even read my own book sometimes just to get more into, just to find out maybe there's something I'm missing. But I've never stopped self-improving. It's just one of the things that I do. But I feel my mother's presence with me every single day. And I was close to both my parents, but Mom just was just a unique presence in my life. And she brought me to my spiritual side.
Yeah, amen. I wanted to make sure that I took a moment just to honor your mother because I knew you were really
close. I appreciate
really
that so much, Nicole. Yeah,
you're
I
more
appreciate
than welcome.
That so much.
More than welcome. Michael, that has been our time. Thank you so much for stopping by the show on today. Much success to you, and continue to be that living, walking, breathing testimony because you're helping people, and you may not even know it. So many people are looking at you, and they look at the strength that you have. So continue to do the work that you're doing, Michael.
Well, Nicole, I've been honored to be your guest, and I hope I can come back again sometime in the near future.
Absolutely. God bless you, Michael.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, listeners, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to jump right into our second segment with author Rayfield Walker. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you so much for hanging out with us on Breathe Again, the radio show. I'm your host, Nicole Cleveland, and we're going to jump right into our second segment with author Rayfield Walker. Now, he is the author of Out of the Jungle, and Out of the Jungle follows Rayfield's escape to New York City, where he finds success as a star student in painting, filmmaking, and writing. His accounts of repeated verbal, mental, and physical abuse offer a grim portrait of life in rural Guyana. After accepting the truth embedded in the advice his grandmother gave him, remembering where you come from can give you strength. Clinging to the past only leads to stagnation. Today he works to honor the memory of his grandparents. Welcome to the show, Rayfield.
Good morning, Nicole, and thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, you're more than welcome. Rayfield, I believe that your story is so powerful. You've gone through so much, and you wrote this book to help others that have gone through abuse and neglect and had to really fight for survival. So congratulations on your book, and kudos to you, Rayfield.
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. What inspired the book, Out of the Jungle?
What that definitely inspired me to write this book. Well, I was actually, in the beginning, I was actually forced to write it because I technically live with my stepmom and, I technically live with my stepmom at this moment. So I attended the family reunion and her brother, wife, was so, because in the family, like right now, in the time of the family that we're in, everybody has heard, you know, they know about these abuse that have been come through with my father, but it was never dealt with. It was never, nobody had never looked into it. Nobody did anything about it. So I met her, and she was talking to me, and she said she was concerned, and she said, I was thinking between your dad, and I told her the last time I spoke with him, which is a year ago, he had said to me he didn't want anything to do with me. He doesn't like boy kids. So she was very sad about it, and she asked me, what am I interested in? I told her, and what am I doing? I told her, I'm preparing to go to college. And she asked me, what was I interested in? So I told her that I'm interested in film. Now, she had babysit for this filmmaker. His name is Amos Poe. He's the first punk filmmaker of New York City, making indie films. He's worked on Suicide Squad, The Dark Knight Rises, and I met him through her, and the task that he gave to me was to write an essay to get into NYU, because I was so interested in the school, because the school had such a strong film program. And I told him my grades, I told him my average. I said that I was doing very, very poorly in school because something that I didn't put into the book, but I'm working on the second book that I'm writing now, and it's actually inside the second book. And I had actually learned how to read at the age of 12. Wow. I understand what I was reading like I could have read a paragraph and understand it at the age of 15, because after I came to America. And the reason for that is basically because while I was going to school in Guyana, I never really focused on school. I just went to school, make sure the attendance was marked to prove that I was in school, and I left school, went to rich neighbors in village far away, and work for them, you know, like run errands and do things so that I could have earned a few money so I could, like, buy bread and stuff like that for my grandparents. Because at that time, my grandparents was working. They wasn't working as much. We would encounter the steady blackout. Like how living in New York City right now, you know, water is running in the bathroom, water is running at the sink. Those are things I never experienced in Guyana because we used to have to walk miles to fetch water. And,
wow.
And he said to me, use all of these things that you encountered in Guyana and write about it, and how come into America changed the whole situation. And I started, yes, and I wrote 5 pages, and I told him, I said, I'm stuck. He said, why are you stuck? I said, there's a lot of things that I'm afraid to talk about. I said, there's a lot of abuse, physical, mental, verbal, sexual abuse that I've encountered. And I told him the peak of it. He said to me, I don't only want you to write an essay. I would love for you, when you finish this essay, he said, don't go too deep into the essay, but I want you to start working on a book. And I said, a book? He said, I don't think I can write a book. He said, the most important thing is just to start. He said, just start. Whatever you know, whatever you're willing to put down on paper, just start it, and you'll see how everything is going to work out. And I actually didn't start writing over. I just continued from the essay. And I never finished that essay. And a month and a half ago, I was finished with the book. And
awesome.
That's all.
Congratulations.
The whole thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You,
so, Rayfield, let's back up a little bit. Let's talk about outside of what inspired you to write the book, the individual that inspired you, the storyline, because I think your storyline is so powerful. You were over in Guyana, and you were abused mentally, physically, and verbally, and it was at the hands of your father, and the story was he was going through his issues, and so he took it out on you, and so you really had to flee that area. Is that correct?
Yeah, that was definitely correct.
Okay. And coming over to New York, how did you get here? First of all, you had to decide at some point, I need to leave here, I need to get out of here. What was the plan to get from Guyana to New York? You had no money, you didn't have a lot. So how did you get here?
My stepmom, who I live with currently right now, she had given me the opportunity. Our father sent for her family. At that time, my dad and her had just got married. And my dad, her, and my other siblings, that was mom, they was migrating. They was coming to the United States. And because I always live with my grandparents. I never live with my grandma. I never live with my father. But
okay.
my mom used to say, you know, I want you to build a relationship with your dad. You know, go see your father. And at that time, I couldn't control to say whether I wanted to go or not, because, you know, once they say go, it's go. You know, there's no ifs, not buts. You know, that's just it. And that's where the abuse started. But my stepmom, she said to me, because she witnessed the whole process of my dad beating me, locking me in cupboard, locking me in the barrels, like drums. And she said to me, I know you really don't have a relationship with your dad and you don't really like it. And I understand why, but definitely I would like to give you the opportunity to come to the United States. And she filled out all the paperwork and everything. And that's how I came to the United States.
Well, amen to that. So outside of the abuse and moving forward and coming here and starting new, have you forgiven your father, Rayfield?
Definitely. The reason why I forgive him, my grandmother, she was definitely strong in church. She was a Pentecostal.
Mm-hmm.
And every Sunday, she went to church Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. She only took me on a Sunday. She insisted
mm-hmm.
that I went on Wednesdays and Friday, but I would always be hanging around straying somewhere, you know, and she would never find me. But on a Sunday, now I woke up Sunday morning and it's put on your clothes, we're going to church. And she definitely spoke to me. She never knew about the sexual abuse. She only knew about the beating and the mental and physically and verbal abuse, you know. And she said to me, she always say, like, forgiveness is not for the person. It's for you. It heals you, you know.
Because
I used to be very bitter, you know. I would have friends their parents used to come and pick them up from school, and seeing their parents kissing them, you know, hugging them, it used to make me so angry. It used to make me so angry. Numerous times, my mom, we have a relationship, but it's not the best. I forgive her, and it's not the best, but I'm still working on it, because before my grandmother passed, her dying wish was to build a relationship with your mom, you know.
Amen. So, Rayfield, talk to me about the book as far as the reader. So what do you want the reader to walk away with after reading Out of the Jungle?
After reading, definitely after reading this book, I would love for people to take away. It's just a message, you know, of saying, this is what's happening around the world, you know. It's an issue that is talked about, but it's not being dealt with as much as it should be. This is why it's still occurring. This is why it's happening, and you're not finding out until the kids that as grown into adults and decide to talk about it themselves, or something happened and you know you found out. But it's important. It's a message of saying, it doesn't matter what type of abuse you've been through. You know, it could be physical, it could be mental, it could be verbal, it could be sexual. But the most thing of all is it's painting yourself, you know, to say, okay, I've been through the worst, and I understand, and I know, you know, the world is not perfect, but I'm not going to let that stop me from being the greatest version or bringing out the greatest version of myself, you know. It's not going to stop me from being the best person I could be, because I'm not going to use that as an excuse. And this is what I've told myself, you know. I'm not going to use this as an excuse. I'm not going to say I have a right to be a certain way because this had happened. Or, and but what I'm going to do is I've focused myself, you know, to be a voice for people that is afraid and that refuse to speak for themselves, and give them inspiration to do the same.
Awesome.
So it's
that's
a whole gist
good.
Of saying, yeah, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. How can the readers purchase the book?
The book can be purchased on Amazon. It could be purchased on Barnes & Noble. It could be purchased on Outskirts Press. So that's a publishing company. Outskirts Press, it could be purchased on Amazon Prime. It could be purchased on Baker and Tyler.
Okay, that's enough. That's a lot of places. So, well, that has been our time, Rayfield. Thank you so much for stopping by the show, and thank you for sharing your story and being transparent to help others. Much success to you.
Thank you very much.
You're more than welcome. All right, listeners, that has been our time for today. I hope and I know you were blessed by both guests, Michael Walker and Rayfield Walker, both of them. Last name is Walker. Look at that. That was not on purpose. But I hope you were blessed by both of their stories. Very unique, very different, but they glorify God, and we understand that you are not alone because they've gone through, they've come out, and God did it for them, and he will definitely do it for you too. Again, if you have a powerful testimony, I want to hear from you. I would love to interview you on Breathe Again, the radio show. Go to breatheagainmagazine.org, fill out that share your story submission form. Somebody will be in touch with you, get you on the show. Your story is not for yourself. It is for others. So to God be the glory for great things he's done, doing, and going to do in our lives. So very excited for what he is doing. So you know what? I never say goodbye. I always say until next time, have a fabulous, fabulous weekend. See you next week.